Chapter 38, Sharing the Product Vision. A compelling product vision is the gift that keeps on giving. Communicating the product vision. It's worth investing some real time and effort into the best way to communicate the product vision. Remember that the vision's purpose is to inspire. PowerPoint presentations rarely inspire anyone. The minimum is typically to create a vision type, and we often produce a video of this vision type. A vision type is a conceptual prototype, a high-fidelity user prototype, realistic looking, but completely smoke and mirrors. And because of that, it is very easy to create, and most important, not constrained by what we know how to build. The difference between a high-fidelity user prototype used as a vision type and a high-fidelity user prototype used in product discovery is the scope of what's covered by the prototype. The vision type describes the world once the vision is a reality. That may be 3 years or 10 years in the future. The product discovery prototype describes the new feature or experience for something we will likely build in the coming weeks. Once you have this vision type, you can show it, demo it, to anyone you like. But many companies today are taking a little extra time and effort and producing a scripted video designed to show off the vision type in the best light possible. This may mean showing how different types of users would experience the product and leveraging the emotional power of music and a thoughtful script to help increase the impact. Another effective way to communicate a product vision is with storyboarding, much like what is done to create and share an outline of a movie. As with a video showing off a vision type, a storyboard focuses on the emotion and the customer experience and not on the details. Because this is about communicating a product vision, and because the product vision is meant to be told from the user's perspective, your product designers will need to play a key role, both in crafting the experience and in determining the best way to communicate that experience. Validating the product vision. In Inspired, I'd explored in detail about how we can use modern product discovery techniques to quickly validate product ideas, to decide if they are worth building. A common question I've heard since then is this: can we use these techniques to validate our product vision? It's a little tricky to explain, but very important to understand. The answer is both yes and no. We can validate the demand for the vision. In other words, if the vision was available today, do people have the problems we think they have? Are the problems serious enough and their current options weak enough that they're open to new solutions? What we can't validate is the solution. That's simply because we don't yet know the solution. Most likely, it will take us years of work to discover the components of the solution. And, of course, while it's good to know we are working on a worthy problem, that's not enough. People will only buy if they believe we have solved the problem well enough to get them to switch. This is why we explain that pursuing a product vision is largely a leap of faith. We are betting on ourselves that we'll be able to discover a solution that delivers on the promise of the vision. Product vision as a recruiting tool. Strong product people want to work on something meaningful. They want to work on something larger than themselves. They want to be missionaries and not mercenaries. So while you can talk about nice employee benefits and show the candidate the foosball table, the best product people care more about your product vision than anything else. We discussed in an earlier chapter how critical it is to invest heavily in staffing competent product managers, product designers, and engineers. As a leader, this is one of your most powerful tools. The vision needs to be compelling, and as a leader responsible for recruiting staff, you need to be persuasive. Product vision as an evangelism tool. It is not just potential employees that you need to persuade. Your company's executives, investors, stakeholders, sales and marketing staff, customer service and customer success staff, and key influencers from across the company and beyond. You need all of these people to understand the future you are trying to create. Why? Because in ways large and small, they will all need to help for your vision to reach its full potential. One other critical point, especially for product leaders. Evangelism is something that is never finished. You need to plan on delivering the message multiple times to the same people, and you need to expect that just because someone is convinced one day does not mean they will be convinced the next. Sidebar: sharing product vision versus roadmaps. In companies with a direct sales force, which are generally there to sell to larger businesses, it is not unusual for the sales force to be asked to share product roadmaps with current or prospective customers. It's important to understand where this is coming from. These customers or prospective customers are making a significant bet on your company. They know that they are not just buying your offering today. They are buying your offering over time, usually for many years. So it's not in the least unreasonable for them to want to make sure that you are heading in the same direction that they believe they need to go. So the standard way of requesting that is to ask to see the product roadmap, because that's usually the only option. The problem with this, as experienced product people know, is that many, if not most, of the specific product features that we think will provide value end up not solving the underlying problem and therefore do not provide the necessary value. So spending the time to build and release a feature that does not solve the problem is the waste that we are trying hard to avoid. Which is why we would much rather share the product vision than a product roadmap. Though the customers don't generally use this terminology, the product vision is usually what they're hungry for. From your point of view, we would much rather share a product vision than a product roadmap because it is a near certainty that, based on what you learn, you will want to change your roadmap often. But if a customer has made a purchase decision based on a promised feature or capability in a roadmap, it becomes much harder to change the tactics. It is true that some companies consider the product vision to be proprietary and they don't want to share it. But I much prefer to share the vision rather than a roadmap. It in fact helps us to validate the vision. It's also true that many companies are not allowed to share a product roadmap because it can and will be interpreted as a forward-looking statement. And if you do not deliver on the promised features, there could be legal ramifications. There are, of course, cases where you'll get specific questions, such as, "We use Salesforce.com here, and before we buy, can you tell us if and when your solution will integrate with their platform?" It's not hard to see how that would be a reasonable question. Whether or not you integrate would be a strategic product decision, which you could answer once you understand the nature and purpose of the integration they're looking for, and whether you believe it is important for your general offering and not just a one-off special request. The timing question, if you believe it's required, would be treated as a high-integrity commitment, which is described in detail in Part 7. Remember, stubborn on vision, but flexible on details. Sharing the vision is fine, but sharing a roadmap is very dangerous. Sidebar: product vision and architecture. So much derives from the product vision. The engineering organization needs the product vision so that they can ensure that the architectural decisions they make will serve the needs of that product vision. Note that it's not necessary or even usually desirable for the engineers to build out in one major effort the full architecture that is necessary for the product vision. But it is essential that the engineers know what the end game is so they can make good choices along the way and avoid having to re-engineer possibly even multiple times. For example, the product vision may imply that the product eventually needs to be able to make highly accurate predictions about how to personalize a user's experience. Even though machine learning capabilities may not be an immediate need, simply knowing this is coming will have real implications for how the engineering team architects the product. Similarly, the team topology, described in Part 5, is heavily impacted by the product vision and the architecture, especially for platform teams that encapsulate the underlying services. A product architecture informed by vision becomes especially critical in organizations suffering from serious technical debt. Few things frustrate me more than an organization struggling with serious technical debt that finally generates the leadership support and funding to pursue a significant replatforming effort, yet does not have a product vision on which to base the new platform architecture. So, the engineering organization is forced to make guesses about what will be needed, or else just build a new platform capable of sustaining what was built over the prior years, rather than what will be needed in the coming years.